Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Michael McKay's Radio Free Market. This is Pat Barron, your guest host, and today we are honored to have with us Mark Thornton, Senior Resident Fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. Hello, Mark.
Good morning. Hello.
Mark is, as I said, is the Senior Fellow, Resident Fellow at the Mises Institute. And he's the book review editor for the Quarterly Journal of Austrian Economics. He's the author of The Economics of Prohibition, the co-author of Tariffs, Blockades, and Inflation, The Economics of the Civil War. And he is the editor of The Quotable Mises, the Bastiat Collection, and an essay on economic theory. And Mark, I just looked online to see how many daily articles you had archived. You have 75 Mises daily articles archived, so congratulations. You're quite a prolific economist. I'm very glad to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Patrick. It's great to be with you here today.
Well, Mark, what I'd like to talk about today in our roughly 20 minutes is an article, I think it's your latest article, that I saw some Mises Daily. It was on January the 31st, so it's just 3 weeks or so ago. Germany repatriates its gold. And I wonder if you would tell our listeners who may not be familiar with this development what that means, that Germany is repatriating its gold, and why you think this might be very important.
Certainly. I think it is an important issue. In January, the German Central Bank, the Bundesbank, announced that it was going to be repatriating more of its gold reserves. And it actually holds a big chunk of its government's gold reserves at the New York branch of the Federal Reserve. It previously had repatriated almost 1,000 tons of gold from the Bank of England, citing high storage fees. And when central banks repatriate their gold, it's always kind of a surprising result, and it's something to pay attention to, but we can't really take their justifications at face value. So they've repatriated gold from the Bank of England, and now they're repatriating all of their gold from the Bank of France and 374 metric tons from Paris and 300 tons from the New York Federal Reserve. So it's bringing its gold back. The German people are very anxious about what's going on in Europe, what's going on with the euro. There's been talks of the euro melting down and of Greece leaving and of Spain leaving and, you know, the eurozone breaking apart. And so the German people are very anxious. They've been calling to bring back the reserves. They've been calling from, as a matter of fact, the Bundesbank requested an audit of its gold at the New York Federal Reserve, and the New York Federal Reserve turned them down. And so they upped the ante, so to speak, by actually asking for some of its gold reserves to come back. Now, originally they had it stored in New York because of, during the Cold War, the Soviet Union could have invaded Germany and taken its gold, so they wanted their gold as west as possible. And so they stored their gold in the U.S. because of fear. Well, now it's turned around, and they're bringing their gold back to Germany again because they're fearful. And the most surprising development in this whole thing is that when they asked the New York Federal Reserve to return its gold, they said, okay, we'll return it, but it's going to take us 7 years to return that gold. So it's very suspicious about the New York Federal Reserve. Why is it going to take 7 years to get its gold back? That's an extremely long period of time. They could probably logistically arrange for the transfer within a couple of months, let alone 7 years. So that's led to suspicions that maybe there's a problem with U.S. Gold reserves, and that it may not be in the Federal Reserve, or it may not be in the proper form, things of that nature. So mainstream economists have looked at this issue, and they said, well, that's just, you know, that's all just nonsense and irrational fears and things of that nature. But the reality is that the German central bank is worried about its gold. The German people are worried about the gold and the euro. And then it turns out that the New York Federal Reserve, where the majority of U.S. gold is supposed to be held, has come up empty and is going to require 7 years to make good on that deposit. So it's like going to the bank and asking to cash a check and them saying, oh, we'll be happy to cash that check, but it's going to take us 7 years to get you the money. So interesting development in very curious times. All the markets are very antsy at this point with currency markets and commodity markets and stock markets and things of that nature. So this is just added fuel to the fire, and it's led a lot of Austrian economists to wonder what exactly is going on here.
Right. You know, Godfrey Bloom and I have written some articles that have been published as Mises Daily articles, I'll tell our listeners, Godfrey Bloom is a member of the European Parliament representing Yorkshire and North Lincolnshire in England, in the UK. And Godfrey and I are calling on Germany to leave the European Monetary Union and reinstate the Deutschmark and tie the Deutschmark to gold. Now, we know that ours is a, right now anyway, is a kind of a lonely voice out there. But I'm getting the feeling, Mark, that this might be a real possibility, that that the German people are starting to... I understand it's true that the German people really never wanted to give up the Deutschmark in the first place. Is that what you understand?
Yes, that's correct. They were very leery of entering this collaborative arrangement called the euro, where all the currencies are combined into a basket and then new currencies, the euro, are issued in its place. The Germans have been, you know, concerned with their money. They suffered through the hyperinflation of the 1920s and the rise of Hitler after that, and then World War II, and they lost all their gold and most of their resources throughout that process. And they're right to be concerned. There was a theory at the time that said, you know, with countries like Greece and Italy and Spain, perennial inflationary economies, that while they couldn't inflate with the euro arrangement, they could use other means like borrowing money, borrowing too much money and running government deficits, that would have a negative impact on the euro, and that the euro might come undone as a result. So, you know, the majority of Germans and the majority of the UK, you know, the UK stayed out of it. Germany wanted to stay out of it, but it never would have happened without Germany's influence. So, yes, that's a big problem. And so what they're seeing is what they assumed would come about eventually, although I think it's probably come about much sooner than a lot of people had anticipated. And, you know, I think you are correct that that Germany should return to the Deutschmark, tie the Deutschmark to gold, even issue gold Deutschmark coins. And this is a first step. I mean, you have to have your gold back in Germany in order to do that. So they may not think they're on the path to returning to the gold Deutschmark, but this is a first step. And they are, in fact, on a pathway back to the gold Deutschmark. It does seem like your article with Jeffrey Bloom is a lone voice, but the reality is that the world is undergoing a major inflationary period, and it's not just in the U.S., it's in Europe, it's in China, it's in Japan has announced a major inflationary package, and so that's what the world is on that pathway, and we know that that pathway ends in either hyperinflation or a broken down economy, and the only way to restart that kind of situation is a return to gold, where the currency that people are using around the global economy is a unified one in many respects, and it's one that's based on, you know, real resources and opportunity costs. It's not based on paper money and electronic entries by central banks. So, yes, it does sound like a lone voice, and yes, it does sound like Germany doesn't really know the pathway it's on, but it is on and hopefully will stay on even a herky-jerky pattern and pathway back to gold.
Well, I think that, our mutual friend, Dr. Philip Bogus, has written sort of the definitive book on why the euro will fail as a tragedy of the commons, and thus the title of his book was The Tragedy of the Euro, where you have multiple counterfeiters, so to speak. They may counterfeit the money backdoor in a backdoor manner, but they are counterfeiting the euro. I just sent around a little piece to my groups pointing out that the European Central Bank supports the Greek economy through its Target 2 settlement system. It has granted 100 billion euros to the National Bank of Greece, which means that the National Bank of Greece has just been running a negative balance in its checking account at the European Central Bank. The European Central Bank has been allowing it to do that. I think, Mark, perhaps you could comment on this, but it's very unusual, is it not, to have the world's fourth largest economy, which is Germany, not have control of its money.
Oh, yes, and, you know, that's exactly what the Germans were afraid of. I mean, for the pig countries, Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain, it was actually a good thing that their currency was taken away from them because they were such inflationary economies. But for Germany, the opposite was the case. They were basically turning over the keys to the car to the, you know, irresponsible teenagers of Southern Europe. And so that is the great tragedy. That's kind of the nutshell version of Professor Bogus's thesis in the book, The Tragedy of the Euro, which I would recommend to everyone. It's fairly short, it's inexpensive, but it's spot on. The situation is that the euro, as it was designed to fail, and so it has built-in properties that basically make it designed to fail. So we know that it's going to fail in various fashions, and we also are not fooled to the extent that we know that the European Central Bank is going to maneuver. European governments and the European Union are going to maneuver things to try to prevent it from failing and from breaking down, and it's going to go through various stages of breaking down. But ultimately, we know in advance, and Philip Bogus explains this quite clearly, that's the trajectory that Europe is on. And so all of the cracks and fissures are appearing, and it's not just within the Eurozone, but we also see, you know, the independent countries such as Switzerland and, for example, Norway, who are independent of the Euro, they're also having problems as a result of this whole central bank fiasco. They're trying desperately to keep down the value of their currencies because people are fleeing the Euro into alternative currencies such as the Swiss franc and such as the Norwegian kroner. And so they're having problems in there. And as a result, their central banks are creating housing bubbles in their economy. And the German housing market is also overheated as a result of people trying to get their wealth in terms of other things than the euro itself. So they're investing money in houses, which are physical assets. And so this whole craziness is spreading out outside of the eurozone itself. And so, you know, the problems of central banking, you know, are many, And we're seeing all of them simultaneously in what Philip Boggess has called the tragedy of the euro. Professor Boggess is, of course, thinks the German repatriation of gold is great news, since this repatriation, this bringing back of gold from the U.S. to Germany, is important because you have to have that gold for monetary purposes if you're going to make a significant reform of getting rid of the paper Deutschmark and replacing it with a gold Deutschmark. So that, you know, that's a fundamental first step that they're taking to avoid this euro crisis.
Godfrey and I have pointed out that, you know, we think that why Germany is the linchpin and why this is so welcome for the entire world, in that Germany is a nation, it's a solidly Western nation. It has a rule of law, democratic processes. It has very smart central bankers. And this is why if Germany returned to a golden Deutschmark, it would be much more important than, say Russia returning to a golden ruble, because you have to have confidence that you can actually, the common citizen can actually take possession of his gold that is represented by his paper currency that he has in his wallet or his book entry that he has at a bank. And I think most of us would say, well, yeah, golden, perhaps the ruble is backed by gold, but I don't have any confidence that I can fly to Moscow or St. Petersburg and reclaim my gold, or to Beijing and do the same thing. But I do have confidence that I could fly to Frankfurt and do that. And if I wanted to. So we are of the opinion, in fact, you can comment on this, Mark, that if Germany returned to a golden Deutschmark, it would be, first of all, it would be a non-coercive act, meaning they have every right to do this. They're not invading another country. They're not throwing up a tariff. They're not doing anything except saying our currency for control is going to be backed by gold, and that eventually that would cause all the other major trading nations of the world to do likewise, or they would see demand for their currencies fall, especially demand for the U.S. dollar.
Oh, absolutely. I agree, you know, wholeheartedly with your thesis that Germany could be the linchpin for a movement back towards a global gold trading system. And in addition to all the points that you raise, we all have to realize is that Germany is a trading nation. They trade with most of the nations of the world, and certainly all the major nations of the world. They're a large export-oriented company, and of course, the more you export, the more you import. And so Germany is involved certainly within the European region in terms of trade, but obviously it trades with North America, South America, Africa, and all of Asia as well, so that they're a trading nation, so that their currency in some sense is infectious to other currencies, and that they would obviously want a stable situation in terms of the of what they were trading, but they would also have a stabilizing effect on the paper currencies as well, because the paper currencies would be more disciplined as a result of Germany turning to gold, and the ultimate discipline was when they actually switched back to gold following Germany's lead. So that the great benefit of Germany is that they have the reputation, and they're also connected to so many other countries. They have a very, very big presence here in my state of Alabama, and the fact that we're a much more global economy now than ever means that sort of in the global infection, if you could put it that way, would be spread throughout the world.
Yeah, what we see is that, right now I think, you know, you and I and all Austrian economists are just shocked at the pace of central banks, tripping over one another to weaken their currencies more than the other guy. So it's just this race to the rock bottom. But Germany, by this non-coercive act, could turn that all around and put the incentives completely the other way. And instead of an incentive to destroy your currency, it would be an incentive to strengthen your currency. And I think it's such an elegant solution is that it's a unique opportunity that we have, and it's a fortunate opportunity the world has, and it's elegant in that other nations would do this solely out of their own self-interest.
I'm sure some of our listeners here are thinking, well, this seems like all pie in the sky, and this is going to happen, decades into the future and that sort of thing. But what the reality is that central banks around the world, they are going down this massive inflationary process with, Japan and just announcing that they are going to, fight the deflation and massively inflate their economy. But behind the scenes, what's going on is that these central banks around the globe are adding to their gold reserves. So they don't want to add dollars and some of these other paper currencies to their reserves. What they want to do is exchange those paper reserves for physical gold. And so the Russian central bank has added a humongous amount of gold to their reserves. The Bank of China has added humongous increases in their gold reserves. Brazil has done likewise, and so Turkey and lots of central banks around the globe are adding to their gold reserves. So it may it may seem like we're headed in the opposite direction, but don't let that fool you. The inflationary efforts of these central banks is not going to work. It's going to make things worse, and even they know that because they're trying to defend themselves by adding gold reserves to their holdings. And so that's the thing that's behind the scenes. But you're right. I mean, in front of the scenes and in the headlines, these central banks are going down very irresponsible courses in terms of just trying to outdo one another by increasing their monetary base and their money supplies.
We've talked about, just in conclusion, we've talked about Philip Box's wonderful book, which really opened my eyes to this whole situation when I read it a couple of years ago. And again, his book is called The Tragedy of the Euro, and it's available for purchase on Mises.org's website. That's Mises.org. Mark, might you recommend another book that our listeners who want to learn more about sound money, what would be a good first book that the Mises Institute would have in its library that they could purchase?
Yeah, we have a lot of them. But one of the newer ones I think that is well worth recommending is a book by Professor Joseph Salerno. It's called Money, Sound, and Unsound. And it's a collection of articles that Joe has written. And this is a little strange, but the book comes in five sections, and I would actually read those sections in the reverse order. So I would start with the articles in section five, and then work your way towards section one. If you're new to this, that's just a better way of doing it. And I would also, of course, recommend everybody going to mises.org, mises.org. It's free. And start looking at the daily articles. My daily article is in there. I have a couple more coming out in the near future. And every day is different, but I think every day is a new insight into the economy and the world we live in. And like I said, it's enlightening and it's free. So you really need to check us out.
Yes, I've told my students at the University of Iowa that they should all sign up for the Mises Daily. And if nothing else, if they read the Mises Daily article every day, they would become an Austrian economist within a fairly short period of time.
Well, yeah, I think I agree entirely with you, and you can sign up to receive these things and have them sent to you every morning, so please go ahead and do that.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you very much for being on Radio Free Market. And again, ladies and gentlemen, this is Pat Barron. I've been interviewing Mark Thornton, a senior resident fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama, and we've been discussing the recent development of Germany repatriating its gold. So, Mark, thank you once again.
You're welcome.
And ladies and gentlemen, again, this is Michael McKay's Radio Free Market, and please stand up for freedom. Good day.